You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Are you all listening to, recognizing, accepting, and opening up to the angels put forth in your life? Are you? Angels are messengers. Angels are jobs. Angels means messenger. Angel means messenger. So you don't get to pick where your messengers come from. In fact, I'm beginning to wonder if messengers are ubiquitous. They're everywhere, from ants in the ground to, and I will tell you what I mean by that, so you don't think I'm running around talking to ants, although I do watch them sometimes. From ants in the grounds to your religious leaders, and you may get an opposite message, as Jesus showed so many times, those opposite messages. He didn't say, look to the learned in your communities of how to go to God. What he did was he showcased how those religious leaders were not embodying, teaching, or otherwise on the right path to what this mystery that at one point, I think more rightfully, had some name, something we were not allowed to speak, or we couldn't speak, because I think we weren't allowed to speak it because we couldn't speak it. The second you speak it, you do a in his image and likeness thing where you put it into a form and the form becomes a box, and then you start relating to the box. You don't relate to what the mystery. You don't relate to the thing that has no name, the persons, the Trinity are persons. So do we believe in three gods? No, but we don't really, we can say it, we can repeat it, we don't really get it. So this show, I want to talk about, believe it or not, sex. I want to talk about monogamy. I want to talk about studies. I want to talk about addictions. I want to talk about God and angels. I want to talk about it all. Will I be able to do that? We don't know, because we will probably go on, find some beautiful little path going off into some woods somewhere and get a little distracted, maybe in a little butterfly garden or something here or there. But we do have all week, so we can certainly branch out and know that we have time to look at everything in front of us. So let's start with the premise that messengers abound, that the being that we call Father is in all, with all, and is all. And that means all. That means all. And if you need that reference again, Job 12:7, I sometimes will bring it up as being very specific when I see something, when I see the lessons of something in nature. But really, he is specific, but it's Old Testament stuff. Ask the earth and it will tell you, it will teach you, it will speak to you. And he talks about the birds, the fish in the sea, the trees, the earth itself. It speaks, teaches, and shows. Who of these does not show how great God is, what he is, what his earth's about? And it really, that's, I mean, we got to take it and open it up like a little one of those little Russian dolls, those old fashioned, but now they have all different incarnations for kids, where it's a little doll that fits inside the little doll that fits inside the little doll. So we're going to talk about all those things today. You're welcome to weigh in at 573-4BREAD-4. You can text, you can call. You can also email me, DM live at breadboxmedia.com. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about monogamy. So I want to let you know that that's going to be part of our conversation today. So if you want to hear more or you don't want to hear more, you can act accordingly. Or maybe you don't want to hear more, but maybe you should hear more. So let's look at that. But instead of, let's open this up first, because this kind of segues. I've told you that Father Richard Rohr, at one point, not being in Alcoholics Anonymous himself, relates a story where his parish or monastery, I think he's a Franciscan brother, he does mass. So anyway, so he's a priest. And wherever he was living at some point, wherever he was, whatever parish he was at, or perhaps the monastery, they, as many churches do of all denominations, allow different groups to hold their meetings at the church when it's not in use. And so oftentimes that's why you will walk up and you'll see little signs that say AA meetings or NA meetings or overeaters or CODA or all these different meetings that will house at these places. And they really don't have that religious affiliation. But what he relates is that he used to leave his door open. It's a little story I heard him tell. He used to leave his door open, and the AA group, the Alcoholics Anonymous group, would meet there. And he could not help but overhear them. And they would meet in the courtyard. And I think wherever his room was, the door opened up to the courtyard. And over time, he ventured into that world a little bit, and he began to know, began to talk. And pretty soon he was invited, even though he was not a person of addictions himself, as far as a physical addiction or an alcohol addiction, as he relates the story. But he was invited into that circle, into the nuts and bolts of the institution. And he said he began to open up and see that the spiritual basis for this, that was put together somewhere in the 30s and 40s, he began to see it in a different realm, because he's seeing it from the outside in, and then going internally into it and soaking in its mechanism. And he made the statement that in some ways he feels it's one of the most important spiritual movements that we've had in the United States ever, because it doesn't matter that you don't have a substance abuse. So I want to start off reading. There's a little, you can look it up. It's called Just for Today. And it's, I think it might be, yes, it's from NA, which is Narcotics Anonymous, which all these, most of them, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, the Celebrate Recovery for Different Addictions, a lot of the Al-Anon, some of them now have become very secular. Celebrate Recovery is one of those that has not become secular. It's more in a Protestant, a Christian framework, where it really sticks with the original intent of the 12 steps and their biblical counterparts, but it's not a religious, you can be secular, you can be atheist, you can be anything, go just like you can with AA. So they have a thing called Just for Today, because that's what it's all about in these recovery groups. It's today, just for today. And if you log on to Just for Today, they give you a reference, and the reference is to the big book, but they give you a reference, and they also give you a little philosophical read. So this one for October 3rd, 2016, I just thought, well, let's see what they have to say today. says losing self-will, and we're going to need some of that when we talk about the sex and the monogamy and some of the studies and some things that are going around right now that will impact your relationship and your children's relationships. It says our egos, once so large and dominant, now take a back seat because we are in harmony with a loving God. We find that we lead richer, happier, and much fuller lives when we lose self-will. Now, that comes from the big book of the AA. Then it goes on to say, addiction and self-will go hand in hand. The unmanageability that we admitted to in step one was as much a product of our self-will as it was of our chronic drug abuse. Now, you can put alcohol abuse, food abuse, sex abuse, relation abuse. You can put any of those things, anything that we have idolatry toward. That is our drug of choice. And there is a reading, and we'll get to all this on the other side of the break, and I'll finish this up on the other side of the break. There's a reading I'll try to find also where we are admonished to say, there's like a list of all kinds of things that will keep you from the kingdom. And a lot of those are even slander, along with being a drunkard, along being with an adulterer. All these things are things of the will, of the self-will that we put before ourselves, that we choose rather than submitting ourselves to the wisdom that is in harmony with God. We're going to talk about why that's important to sex and monogamy and your own mental health. On the other side of the break, I am Dr. Michelle.
If you like what you hear on Dr. Michelle Live, please consider supporting the show by becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support today. Thank you. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, like we always do. We are in this caravan, kind of a gypsy caravan that's traveling through this ethereal space that we call life, that we are all interconnected, and we really are, obviously, because you are listening to me and I'm talking with you and hearing you as well. You can call me 573-4BREAD-4 and remain anonymous. You can also text and remain anonymous 573-4BREAD-4. If you have a comment or a direction you want to go in or a site you'd like to see. You can also email me anytime, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can check the archives. Always timely. I don't go with the news. Sometimes I will. Today I read the date. But this will be recycled, just like our gospels are always recycled. Doesn't matter that you read it on Sunday, October 2nd. It's going to come around again. So all these things that we talk about, these are the timeless issues. They might be a little time sensitive because of the certain culture that we're in today. It might not exactly be the same, but these are issues. And if you note, after knowing me for quite some time, we oftentimes will visit things that, let's say, were put as institutions or studied back in ancient times, the ancient Greeks, or World War II. There's oftentimes we talk about the propaganda and how propaganda was way long before World War II, but it got very perfected and very systematized at that point. and very utilized, and how it's changed over time, and how propaganda, though, can be propaganda within your own family. So the principles are always the same. You just need a certain three elements to any kind of propaganda, convincing, and you need to have a certain number of almost magical times that it's repeated and it becomes your truth. And if you wonder about that, all you have to do is think of the funny little things that happen, such as a phrase. Like right now I'm using, oh, I'm too much. I go, oh, really? Well, where did I learn that? I mean, that wasn't something that people said 5 years ago, but for whatever reason, it just floated around and then it just settles in. It's like seeds, some little flower seeds that got sprinkled around that perhaps a certain region hadn't seen before. So I'm going to finish this just for today, because it's going to prelude into these more earthy topics here. Okay, so let me repeat a little bit. Addiction and self-will go hand in hand. And remember, every time, do not turn it off, please. I mean, turn yourself off. Don't fog over or go, oh, that's not me. Because you have no addictions, you don't drink, you don't do drugs, you don't have an eating disorder, you don't have sexual issues, you're very monogamous, you have a lovely family. Don't think about this. Your addiction is addiction to anything, even if it's addiction to piety, and you're so tenacious on your pious groove or your prayer groove that you will not listen to the word of God inside of you. All right. So this is about losing self-will, surrendering. That's the big operative word, surrender. And when you can accept that you're surrendering everything is full acceptance and becoming one heart to heart with God, then according to people who've been there, and I'm not one of them right now, but I'm kind of thinking it's making a lot of internal sense to me, that really is where it's at. We see this happen in our saints. We see this happen to, I've said before, to scientists. They come down to this very fundamental level. We just shed all these different skins. And at the very end, we're like, yep. Kind of simple here. So, and it's about shedding it, letting it go into where it's dead skin, truly dead skin, not some self-help book you got to turn around 25 times and clap your heels. But we have to do all these things because we're still very finite beings. So, all right. So it says addiction and self-will go hand in hand. The unmanageability that we admitted in step one was as much a product of our self-will as it was of our chronic, fill in the blank, I'll just put chronic habits. And today, living on self-will can make our lives just as unmanageable as they were when we were using. When our ideas, our desires, our demands take first place in our lives, we find ourselves in constant conflict with everyone and everything around us. Self-will reflects our reliance on ego or ourselves. The only thing that will free us from self-will and the conflict it generates in our lives is to break our reliance on ourselves, coming to rely instead on the guidance and power offered us by a loving God. We are taught to consult spiritual principles, not our selfish desires, in making our decisions. We are taught to seek guidance from a higher power, one that has a larger vision of things than our own. In doing this, we find our lives meshing more and more easily with the order of things around us. No longer do we exclude ourselves from the flow of life. Read that sentence again and keep the word flow as part of something you're going to hang on to today. No longer do we exclude ourselves from the flow of life. We become a part of it and discover the fullness of what recovery has to offer. And I submit here, we all have to recover from something. We're all in a state of recovery. And what that recovery is, even if you had a very challenge-free life, that recovery is recovering our oneness again with God. We're constantly there. Then they go on with their little lesson. Just for today, I seek freedom from self and ego and the conflicts generated by self-will. I will try to improve my conscious contact with the God of my understanding, seeking the guidance and power I need to live in harmony with my world. Okay, so I find that lovely and kind of something I needed today for myself. However, I will also bring that into line. And actually, how I got this today is a young person who is themselves is struggling with, no longer, has been very clean and sober for 6 years, asked me if I would connect with them and read Just for Today. So that's how I got it. And I thought, oh, hey, I can do that I can use that. I mean, it lent itself to the topics of the day. Okay, so let's see. We can get into this other stuff then too. So when you're thinking about the flow of life, I want you to keep that in your background. And also when you're thinking about losing your desire, but in not relying on yourself. I heard a great guy yesterday, a preacher, a Protestant preacher. Awesome. But talking about how he likened our minds. He said, how many of you know Curious George? And so everybody raised their hand, know Curious George. And they said, would you ever let him drive your car? And everybody laughed, of course. And then talking about then why would you let him drive your mind? Basically, that was the take-home message. And then talking about how when, I think it was David in the Psalms, said, Holy Spirit, whatever you do, don't leave me. And what he was implying at the time was, don't leave me, because if you go, all I have is me. And when he talked about Curious George, he said, that's what you are. That's what you are without God. You are just, you're just this brain. And God uses your brain and your mind as his vehicle. But if you reject that and only rely on you to think it through, you're going to be in the Curious George world. And I love that because it's so simple and it's so true and it's so real. We're getting toward the end of this segment. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to develop that into these studies that are going on about sex and monogamy and what these take home messages. And again, it's one of those deals where we do tend to use our brain and then we draw conclusions and we start to go down another path. So email me if you'd like, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can also call or text any thoughts during this whole program. You can remain anonymous, of course, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. And we will see you on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. We are walking this road together. So I hope you kept that word flow in your midst, because we are going to talk about how we can dice and slice things up. And by virtue of relying only on, okay, we're taking the, I'm interrupting myself here for this message. We are taking the reading from Just for Today about how we orchestrate, we design unmanageability in our lives by relying on our self-will, relying on ourselves, our brain, our what we desire, what we think. I think it. I think, therefore, I am. That was Descartes, I think. I think, therefore, I am. And I think that's what he said. Anyway, you can tell me, 5734BREAD4. And it was more like, okay, that's how I know I'm here. I think, therefore, I am. So, but it's not all about thinking. We think, but God is the ethereal navigator. God is like the giant ethereal, and I don't want to say this, but I'm going to, octopus that has all these different abilities and channels into us and for us and with us, and abilities that we have, that he says, look around you, people. First of all, I'm here. I'm putting myself right here in front of you, and I'm putting my only begotten son right here in front of you. He's telling you some things. Why aren't you listening? And then, but okay, so you didn't all listen then. Here, I'm going to give you other thoughts and other thoughts and other things and other realities. And I'm going to tell you over and over and over, look around you. This is, if you can't see, if you're so encased in your own self box, your little box, then, you know, look around you. I'm going to give you lots of angels, messengers. And you're going to get lots of messages, and you're able to connect the dots. But oftentimes we just walk over those dots. We don't connect them. I don't connect them. You don't connect them. And then we wonder and we think, wow, because life is just going to be that. It's not like anyone's going to really perfect it. So we're thinking about that today, about losing the self-will and why that helps for our being in harmony with our God. Then I want to bring your attention to the old, I don't know what it is. It's a story, a fable. It dates way back to India. And there are all different religious interpretations of that story of the blind man and the elephant, where each one of them is supposed to, is describing this elephant, so they get to know what it is. And one of them has the tail, and they say, well, it's like the rope, and the other one has the leg, and it's like a wall, and everyone's arguing with what it really is like. But the key there is blindness. The key there is the blindness, that it's just not being able to see it from the whole, or from perhaps even the other's perspective. So what does this have to do with sex? Well, it has a lot to do with sex. I was listening yesterday to a very engaging relationship coach who occasionally is on the radio. Maybe she's on all the time. I don't know. I just happened to be driving to Mass myself and turned on the radio. And after the news, she was in the middle of talking about something. And she had on as a guest someone from a university who had been involved. I think they may have even written the book, and I do not remember the name. And I do remember the university. It was the University of Utah. And I, now, mind you, I'm only getting a little snippet as I'm driving. And she's asking some questions to this person, a gentleman, and about his research. And the research basically was trying to give you, just like they do with the paleo diet, and I'm not demeaning this person. I'm assuming they're an anthropologist of some sort, but talking about why and how. Now, he's also cross species. He's talking about this cross species of how we're the about being a like other species, and why we evolve to be monogamous. again, I look at that very much like this ancient fable, ancient in India somewhere, ancient, long, thousands of years before Christ, describing what we're still doing today. We can make, I learned in my first statistics class, my very first, well, my only one, really, now that I think about it, in college, we had to take statistics, probably because they were going to have to use that knowledge when we're looking eventually at how to interpret and understand and discern studies, basically. So medical studies or any kind of study. So you have a very skeptical eye because and one of the first things they tell you, you can find statistics for anything to win any argument. It's one of the first things, statistics 101. Statistics can form, statistics can lie. Statistics can be black and white, and they can give you a very objective number. But the cause and effect of that might be very, very different. Almost like, I'll give you a kind of a silly example, that medical school students, 35% of medical school students, I'm making this up, eat M&M peanuts and report having eaten M&M peanuts since they were children. Now, we could do a little tweaking, a little twisting, and somehow imply that eating M&M peanuts enhances the brain function to get your child to the place where they can be a medical student. That's how, I know it sounds silly, but that's what can be done. So I'm listening to this conversation, and it was about that men are less monogamous than women, which now you can just Google, and you find out that the statistics say, no, women are becoming less monogamous, so just they're equally less monogamous. But now they're relating this. Men want, this was one of the headlines. It was according to some research that I'll read to you in a minute. Men want commitment when women are scarce. Sexual supply and demand affects mate choice among, and then they were studying one particular Guyana tribe. All right. So then in this conversation I heard yesterday, they went one step further and we're talking about cross species. That in all nature, our animal brothers and sisters are notably not monogamous. So they're bringing out all these different conclusions and how we can take that information and apply it to our dating, apply it to our relationships, reply it to who we are as people. Now, I get that, but I think that there's some dangers inherent in that because it's starting to prescribe the ethereal nature of a culture. It's giving you the conditions and parameters by which people were forced to be monogamous when really the nature is to not be monogamous. And that's a little disconcerting. So basically they were saying that this was from the University of Utah anthropologist Ryan Schacht. He's the first author of the study published online in the Journal of the Royal Society Open Science. Now this was back in 2015. So he studied, I don't know exactly who he is. He's a postdoctoral fellow. So he's already got a doctorate. He's Dr. Schacht. I haven't read his study. I'm just reading what has been brought forth by his study, which to me is just as important, if not more important, as to how society is grasping his study. So it says, commitment to a relationship is influenced by the availability of partners. So we can think of the number of men and women in a population as a potential mating market where the principles of supply and demand hold sway, says University of Utah anthropologist Ryan Schacht. I'm not sure I'm saying his name correctly, actually. We won't go through the whole thing because that's not going to be the whole point of the program. We're getting close to the close of our other segment. But I will go on a little bit. When you belong to the sex that is abundant, you must cater to the preferences of the rare sex, says Schacht, a postdoctoral fellow. So the expectations are that men will be interested in short-term relationships when more women are available. But when women are difficult to find, they become valued resources. So men will attempt to attract and maintain a single partner because it is costly to lose a partner when partners are rare. Schacht says the findings suggest the opposite of the conventional view that when men outnumber women, there are more likely to be male-male fights and increases in sexually transmitted diseases. See, they find these statistics that this happens in, again, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? So he says that making generalizations about humans from Western industrial societies is challenging because they are so complex. But we can use our findings to make inferences about Western populations. So I want to see what these inferences are on the other side of the break. See what you think about them, if you actually can apply that to your relationship.
If you like what you hear on Dr. Michelle Live, please consider supporting the show by becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support today. Thank you. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're listening to me, Dr. Michelle, live on Breadbox Media. You can email, you can call, you can be a friend of the show, you can look at previous podcasts. It's all good. So, as always, probably won't be able to finish this topic in this program. And I get all these little details because I find that putting the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle out in front of us sometimes helps us see an overview. And sometimes if we try to put all the blue over here and the red over here and then try to start letting them fall into their own places, it will settle into you somewhere inside of yourself. That is the reason I go for these things, because we have a crisis right now. And we all throughout history, of course, we seem to have these crises. We have crisis after crisis. Each generation has a new challenge of an old problem, a new way to look at the same thing. And at the same time, it has a new path to destruction. It has a new path to openness and harmony. So it almost seems as if in days when, as in Jesus's time, where they brought that woman to him and asked him to help him stone her, or he was there as they were going to stone her because she committed adultery. Well, she must have committed adultery with somebody who was married, or some guy who was obviously conversely committing adultery, but they were going to stone the woman. It was a huge point in the Bible. Why, of all the things that happened, and all the things that happened previously in the history of God and man relationship, that particular one, he without sin threw the first stone. But it was all about the elders, the male elders. This is not a feminist statement, but it was about the sexuality. It's always been an issue. It's about the sexuality. It's about the relationship. It's about the relationship between men and women. What was the whole deal about Eve in the garden? The power of Eve. And that's what in the Garden of Eden, the serpent was trying to get to with the venomous bite and the temptation and the apple. And the whole deal was to separate this beautiful, powerful being along with the beautiful, powerful being of man as God's images on earth, to demean and enslave and bring down, because it was a woman who brought forth Christ, right? So anyway, so we keep doing this. We keep doing this. And now we're doing it in our really cool mental ways. We can scientifically prove this, just like people have made billions of dollars on the paleo diet. Not that I'm against the paleo diet, I'm saying, not against. It has its flaws. But the whole thought is, this is how our ancestors ate. Well, our ancestors also ran 20 miles a day, and our ancestors also lived in caves, didn't wear many clothes at all, and traveled, you know, were nomads, and didn't have cell phones, or didn't have, you know, all these beta waves and theta waves and this wave and that wave coming, because your television, this thing you're listening to right now, everybody else's internet is all going through your body. It just is. Microwaves. They're all going through you. Well, they didn't have any of that stuff going. So which is important? So yeah, we can surmise that they ate certain things, but we also don't have, you know, we go with what we are living in. We're living in 2016. So here's the study. And the study is saying, basically, the conclusion is that he says that the findings suggest the opposite of the conventional view that when men outnumber women, they are more likely to be male-male fights and increases in sexually transmitted diseases. He says that we do expect to see some general preferences. However, when you look at the industrialized societies, as I'm kind of paraphrasing this because of time, that we can make inferences from a less industrialized society to a Western population. And it talks about how being in an urban environment might be more challenging to nail down a single committed partner. Well, yeah, sure. You know, I mean, it is true. He's talking about availability. But what are we going to draw from that? What do we draw? It sounded to me in this whole program that what we're drawing from that is that we are looking at a cross species, keeping ourselves much like we look at any kind of animal, factoring in that it's supply and demand, that in order to keep up with supply and demand, this is what the show was quite a bit about, and this is what I'm gleaning from not only this article, but another article from a psychologist, Christopher Ryan, who was talking and who's written a couple of books, Sex at Dawn, The Prehistoric Origins of Modern Sexuality, talking very much about the fact that we are primates and that we need to look at this, and that monogamy is not a natural state of being. And that we do tend to preen ourselves more when there's more competition. Some of this stuff is like, well, yeah, duh. It's like, again, the elephant and the blind men. Sure. There's more pressure in Southern California to be surgically altered because that's the new normal. That's what everyone looks like. If you're 30 or if you're 60, it looks starting to look unnatural. But if I go from here to the small town that I was just in, it's not the same. It's different. The pressures are different. We have pressures. We have societal pressures. We all know that. But how much are we beginning to believe internally, take in as truth about our relationships? When you or your husband starts seeing this or starts understanding these things, saying that, okay, well, this is what our natures are, it changes up the game. Let's now go back, because this is a big, broad subject, and I brought it up, probably needed to put it in little better bite-sized pieces for the week. So we'll try to do that, I promise you, for tomorrow. But let's try to bring it back to the thing that I read from Just for Today. It's about being in harmony when we rely on ourselves. And back to what the preacher was talking about yesterday that I heard speaking at this group, that it's the Curious George of the brain. It's David or whatever saint it was who said, please do not leave me, because when you leave me, I'm just left with me. And that's really unacceptable. I don't know what to do. And like he likened it unto Curious George driving your vehicle. You are the Curious George that is constantly distracted, constantly thinking something you can handle, something you can't. And then the Just for Today that talks about being in harmony, that it's about you stepping back, not abandoning your mind. But why do you think we talk about be as little children, but not be as little children and start just saying, oh, I believe that, or I believe this, or sure, it makes sense to me, because it's only part of the puzzle. What part are you looking at? We can do a whole thing on painting toenails or the fact that your skin sheds, and we can draw different conclusions by it, but we can't draw the whole ethereal, spiritual, physical, mental, suggestible, natural, supernatural, and preternatural conclusions by the fact that we shed skin or that our blood cells turn over every 120 days. They might be facts. It might be a fact that if you're one of 20,000 gorgeous blondes who are auditioning for the role in The Big Bang Theory, one of them is going to be picked, and you got to be your best to be just better than everyone else and kind of look like everyone else. That is a nature thing. But then we cannot necessarily connect that with the end all be all. So when we look at ourselves and our fears of our relationships, fears, if we're fighting against our nature, oh my gosh, our nature is to be non-monogamous. Our nature, let's forget this big piece that is not being seen here. The big piece of the puzzle that is not being seen is that it is also in our nature. And this is what we'll leave today with. And we're going to go back more to what people are talking about as far as the fact that monogamy supposedly is not what men are about, or even women, but this particular study. Let's talk about the big piece that it's not being seen in this elephant and the blind men. That is that we are naturally connected with the supernatural. We are naturally infused with a choice to open up our radar system to a natural world that ends up just gone and destroyed. Or we are also at the exact same time in a paradox, in a mystery, we are in our nature, we are given the ability to be in harmony with God. And that is a strong, strong, strong force, more powerful than what all the other natural beings are doing in this world. We are natural beings in a supernatural world, and we have the power within us and the desire implanted in us to go with the supernatural and what it's telling us to do. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Dr. Michelle.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.